Right, good evening, everybody. Yes, I'm a natural scientist, and I'm going to talk to you about food production, and I'm going to talk about food production as an ecosystem service. Now, can you put your hands up if you've heard the term ecosystem service before? Oh, good. Excellent. So not everybody's beginners. Right, okay. So the concept of ecosystem services, goods and services, has been around for a while. And basically, it means the benefits that people get from ecosystems. So the concept's been around for a while, but there was a very large international project which was kicked off in 2000, called the Millennium Ecosystem Assessment, where a very large number of scientists, economists, etc., basically assessed the whole world in terms of its environmental performance, viability, and in terms of the ecosystem services that it delivers. And they also, at this point, attempted to categorize the ecosystem services as well into four groups. So these are, and you won't be able to see them, but basically the four groups. The first type of service is called a supporting service, and that's things like photosynthesis, nutrient cycling, soil formation, which are, and these are the services that support all other services, so the delivery of all other services. The next category of services is regulating services, and those are services, benefits provided by ecosystems to do with regulation of the environment, so things like climate regulation, regulation of water quality, pollination is also considered to be a regulating service. Then you have provisioning services, and those are things that are a lot easier for us to recognise, things like food, fibre, fuel, also things like genetic resources would come into that, and natural pharmaceuticals. And obviously, we're talking about food tonight, so what I'm trying to do is put food, if you like, on the same level or in the same framework as all the other benefits that we get from the environment. And then the fourth category of service are the cultural services, and those are the other sort of hard-to-quantify benefits that we get from the environment and from ecosystems, which might be looking at a nice view or inspiration to write a poem or education. So, it's not a very precise categorization, but I think it's quite a useful sort of approach. So there are sort of three key things, I think, about ecosystem services that we need to think about tonight. The first one is that the delivery of any particular ecosystem service usually requires the support of other services, and that's particularly the supporting services. So the delivery of food obviously requires photosynthesis, for example, soil formation. The use of land ecosystems to provide one service, so again, if you think of food production again, can sometimes reduce the provision of another service. And I think that's sort of fairly obvious. To grow food, then we're actually changing ecosystems, so we're actually changing the services that they deliver to us. And the final point is that biodiversity, so the range of animals and plants and smaller organisms that live in the world are key to the delivery of many, possibly most, ecosystem services. So just to say a bit about food production, then, as I've said, it's a provisioning service. Because of the way that we produce food, we're no longer hunter-gatherers, so we actually manipulate and manage our environment to produce food, then we actually have negative impacts on the delivery of other services. And this is first of all because by farming, we generally reduce biodiversity in that area, and that's basically partly because of our management practices, so things like ploughing, but also because nowadays we grow very uniform crops. We like to grow uniform crops in fields that contain no weeds, so a very non-biodiverse sort of environment. And the fact that biodiversity is reduced then has an impact on some of the other services that are delivered by that biodiversity, and a good example might be pollination. So by reducing plant diversity in a field, you're probably reducing the food sources for insects that pollinate things and actually pollinate crops. So you're actually having an adverse effect on your crops as well by growing crops, because you're reducing, you know, the ability of pollinators. The second way that food production can have an adverse effect on ecosystem services, other services, is through what I loosely term pollution. And that is really to do with the things that we now apply to our crops to make them grow better. So fertilizers, pesticides. Again, they have impacts on the delivery of other services. Pesticides, again, will affect the pollinators, and the components of fertilizer, particularly nitrates, also are or lead to greenhouse gases, which affects climate regulation. And the third way that food production affects the delivery of other services is because it of its demand for other resources. And water is a very good example of that, in that particularly with irrigated crops, you're extracting water maybe from rivers, and you're probably affecting the organisms that live there and the services they deliver. So we need food, and there's a lot of us there to feed, but by producing the food, we are having negative impacts on the other services our environment gives us. So there's a lot of agreement now amongst governments, amongst all scientists, amongst all sorts of people, that we are, through farming and through lots of other activities, we're having a very bad effect on our environment and on the delivery of these services. But there's also recognition that the population's increasing, so we actually have to increase our production of food. And a term that's being coined, I'm not quite sure who chose it first, is sustainable intensification. So increase food production, but try and do it in a sustainable way. And there are all sorts of questions you can ask about this. So I'm going to pose one at the end. But just to say that obviously there are already a lot of initiatives going on, some of them supported by government, to actually help food producers produce in a more environmentally friendly way. And obviously one of those is the environmental stewardship schemes that are part of the common agricultural policy at the moment. And then there are other initiatives now that DEFRA, the two sort of documents at the bottom, are launching about other approaches to boosting ecosystem services. So my question for the evening is, at what spatial scales should we consider delivery of ecosystem services, including food production? So should that be at a field scale, a landscape scale, national, European, or global? And there are, you know, there are all sorts of things involved in that. I mean, one of the things is that, for example, do we actually... There are two ways of increasing food production, I guess, by growing more intensively on the land that we've converted already, or growing or increasing the amount of land that we grow on at the expense of destroying those natural ecosystems. So should we, if we are going to destroy ecosystems, should we destroy them in the UK, or should we destroy them somewhere overseas where maybe, you know, generally the biodiversity or whatever is more valuable? So there's a lot of issues around that. So I'll leave it there. Thank you.